Good afternoon. This is Mark J. Ward, and the name of the program is Pleasing God, a program that answers Bible questions from God's Word, as well as teaching that takes place in the way of Bible study on things that concern our soul, things that are important unto eternal life. When we think about pleasing God, it's always good to look to passages like Hebrews the 13th chapter, verses 20 and 21. In today's lesson, I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, there's coming a day of reckoning. It's called the Judgment Day, when Jesus will come and we'll all be before him and be judged by the things that are written in the books. And another book, the Book of Life, will be opened, and our names need to be written in that book. And we need to have Jesus, an advocate on our behalf, tell the Father, I know this person. I know this person was faithful. I know this person made mistakes, but this person was obedient and well-pleasing. To hear those words, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord, for eternity will be such wonderful, wonderful words to hear. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 21, the Bible says in verse 6, Then he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We want to, as planned, talk about the fulfillment of God's eternal plan, or God's plan of redemption for man. God, in his infinite wisdom, knew that man would fall. God did not make man fall. God did not tempt Adam and Eve to sin. But rather, God, in his infinite wisdom, and having created us, knew that there would be a need for forgiveness. Romans 3, verse 23, points out very clearly that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We can have forgiveness, though, because of God's plan for our redemption. Living today, we would not be following the law of God that was in place for the Mosaical dispensation from Exodus 20 to Acts 2 Pentecost, when the new covenant came into being preached. Jesus spoke of the new dispensation. Jesus spoke of the gospel in prospect. That is, he spoke things concerning the law that would be coming after he died, so that he could take the old law away, nailing it to the cross, as it were, as mentioned in Colossians 2, verses 14 through 17. But bear with me, if you will, as we turn to Ephesians, the third chapter, and look at verses 10 through 11. Jesus shed his blood for many, Matthew 26, 28, for, that is, in order to receive the remission of sins. This was God's plan from the beginning. Jesus did this willingly as a member of the Godhood, the divine nature, to make himself lower than the angels, so that he might suffer and die and be resurrected and ascend to heaven, and sits now reigning over his kingdom. Yes, the kingdom of God is in existence today. It is a spiritual kingdom, and Jesus is ruling, and those who are Christians are citizens in that kingdom. Pilgrims and strangers in this physical world, not worry about the kingdoms of men or the governments of men, except to obey passages like Romans the 13th chapter, but also to obey passages like Acts 5 and verse 29. Reading again from the New American Standard today, we go to Ephesians the 3rd chapter. For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. What a wonderful passage of Scripture, Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 11. This was then the eternal purpose. God's scheme of redemption has been eternal. Before Adam, God knew there would be sin, thus the need for redemption. I don't know how many of the listeners might know of the old S&H green stamps. My mom used to shop and was very thrifty, and at the grocery store where we traded when I was a little boy and Dad was preaching in various places in Florida and Alabama and Tennessee, we would get these green stamps, and I loved to get the little empty booklets and ask permission to lick those green stamps and put them in their appropriate places in those books, and then get a catalog and dream and wonder about what would be purchased or redeemed, what would be bought or redeemed with those green stamps for maybe a baseball glove, or maybe for a badminton set, or maybe something else for the whole family. Yes, Christ has redeemed us by his blood that he shed if we are willing to come to God, if we are willing to repent and turn to be God's children and not children of the devil. And when we make up our mind that we're going to make an about face and quit playing on the devil's team and come on over to the Lord's team, we need to follow what the Word of God teaches with regard to becoming a Christian. And if God teaches that there are four things that man must do in order to obey the gospel of our Lord and Jesus, Savior Jesus Christ, to come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ, it is not meritorious. It is merely conditional. God has been conditional with man since the very beginning. Do you remember when Naaman in 2 Kings 5 had the dreaded leprosy? The message was, go dip 7 times in the River Jordan. He got mad. He was angry at God. He wanted something great to happen. Why was he hearing something from the little servant girl? Why wasn't there a big production where the man of God, the prophet, would come out and make some extravagant type of situation so he could be cleansed of leprosy? You know what the solution was? Accept the word of God and submit. If we will learn what it means to yield and put ourselves subordinate to the word of God instead of our will or the devil's will, because they're one and the same in the sense that if we're trying to do our will, we're not on the Lord's team. And there are only two teams out there, the Lord's and the devil's. Therefore, let us learn who God is. Let us learn how to please Him from the pages of the Bible. Let us learn in the New Covenant what we are to be doing to be well-pleasing as both individuals and local congregations. And as Paul said in the reading we just had from Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, when we read the Word of God, we can understand what Paul knew about the mystery of Christ. Now, Paul was inspired, but we're not inspired. And Paul says when you read the Scriptures, he doesn't mean haphazardly. We're going to have to give the more earnest heed to the things that we've been taught. And if the Lord says something that we're to do, we need to snap to it and quit lallygagging around with our souls. Oh, the devil wants us to. The devil wants us to be lazy. See how that works. We need to do everything heartily as unto the Lord. Oh, back in Genesis, the 12th chapter, there was a promise to Abraham. This was part of prophecy that Jesus would come and through Abraham's seed, all nations or families of the earth could be blessed because of Jesus Christ suffering, living and dying and being buried and resurrecting and ascending to the right hand of God. We now have the blood of Jesus, which takes away the sins of the world, if we will just come unto Him. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Just like the gospel, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Do you know about God's plan for man's redemption? Well, if you choose to be an atheist, you're not willing to accept and you're not willing to submit to the will of God. Therefore, you are not well-pleasing in His sight. If you're an agnostic or if you're a religionist and you are not following God's word, then you are not accepting what God said, though you may believe in Him and believe in the Christ and believe in the Holy Spirit. But if you're not following God's prescription for scriptural worship of the church, scriptural organization of the local church, scriptural work, spending of the funds of the local church, and living the life of a Christian as an individual according to the pattern of God's Word, asking God for forgiveness when we stumble and fall, as 1 John 1:6-9 point out, that we might be forgiven by the blood of Jesus just as we were when we became a Christian. Thank you for listening today. We appreciate your time. Please tell others about the program. And until our next time to be together, we bid you a pleasant good day.